Hello and welcome to the Manager Mojo Show. Steve Caldwell here, and we're so glad that you're here. We use our mojo to really become greater leaders. Now, let's get started by listening to something good.
Oh, I feel good. I knew that.
Want to make 2017 your best year ever? Then let me be your teacher, your mentor. I've prepared special courses and webinars for you that will help you succeed and to give you access directly to me. Go to mojouniversity.com and sign up today. You have nothing to lose. Try me for 30 days, and if you aren't satisfied, I guarantee you a full refund, no questions asked. Don't go it alone. Let me be your guide at mojouniversity.com. Be successful today.
Oh, I feel good. I knew that I would not. I feel good. I knew that I would not. So good, so good. I got you.
Our discussion today is what I'm calling the leader's guide to personal responsibility. You know, personal responsibility is one of those things that I think a lot of leaders actually assume people have. Yet one of the biggest complaints that I have from managers that I'm working with and coaching and trying to help them improve in their teams is that they seem to have a bunch of employees that don't accept responsibility for what they do. In other words, what they do is that they try to throw off everything that goes wrong by saying it's just somebody else's fault. Now, I know that you've had people that are like that. And if you haven't, you will, because I promise you in today's world, people really shy away from personal responsibility. We see it in every aspect of life, especially in the United States today. We have people that say, well, it's up to government to provide for my needs. And yet, there's no way that government could provide for everybody's needs. There just simply wouldn't be anybody working. But yet people think that it's up to government to provide for them. And so a lot of times what we have is we have people that have this entitlement mentality. If you just simply look at the current crop of college graduates that are coming out, so many of them today actually believe it's a right for them to have a college education. There's no right to a college education. You have to earn it. And people say, well, you should provide me with a free college education. Baloney. That's just not the way it works. You have to assume responsibility for yourself, because I promise you one thing that I've learned in my lifetime. If you give somebody something for free, it totally becomes worthless to them at that point. They don't appreciate it. They don't really earn it. I know myself, I grew up about as poor as a person can be. But yet, I found a way to work and make money and save money in the summertime and Christmas season and holidays between school to work and save enough money so that I could go to college. Now, I had a scholarship, a partial scholarship. It didn't pay for everything. But you know what? I earned it, and I appreciated it because I felt like that it was my responsibility to get that extra level of education. You see, but what we're having today is more and more people that believe that it is not their responsibility. And you'll even hear it from your young employees coming in, and they'll complain about having a large college loan, but nobody made them borrow the money. The reality is it's their responsibility to pay it off. They shouldn't be looking to other people to pay it off. But you bring these attitudes of lack of personal responsibility into the workplace. And so they assume that everybody owes them something. And yet every leader that I know understands that the most important employees you have and the most productive employees you have are those that take responsibility for themselves. Those are the great ones. And so what happens is that a lot of people wind up trying to interview and hire for that person that's extremely responsible. And if you're lucky enough to get that, great. But yet, you've got to find a way to teach personal responsibility if you're a leader in your organization, because you're going to have people that don't accept it. The real key question is, how am I going to help them get there? How do I get people that are working for me and working with me on my team to be responsible for themselves? Well, I want to give you a few tips on this and some thoughts that I think if you'll really think about and start to put some substance around yourself and your own style, I believe that they will help you. You'll be able to teach others personal responsibility. So how do we get there? The biggest thing is that you've got to have a change of thought. And by that, what I mean is that you need to think this. The thought change is how to bring clarity to what your employees are expected to do. Now, clarity is one of those things that I just think is missing. I see it and I hear it all the time. When I began to ask specific questions of managers and leaders, have you done this? Have you done that? They will tell me, generally I have, and really, based on what I said, couldn't they figure that out themselves? You'll hear this a lot, and if you hear yourself saying, well, they should be able to figure this out themselves, then I want you to understand that you have not yet appreciated the value of clarity. Clarity ties outcomes to actions. Let me repeat that. Clarity ties outcomes to actions. So what you have to do as a leader is you have to explain what outcome is the result of doing something good and what outcome is the result of doing something bad or even mediocre. You see, to me, mediocre is where it really starts. People will say, well, yeah, that's okay. All right, I'll clean it up later. How many times have you told an employee that? Yeah, it's not quite what I wanted, but I'll clean it up later myself. Well, what you did is you just ignored clarity. You allowed a mediocre outcome to become your future standard. And so what they're going to do is they're going to provide you mediocre work, and you're going to accept it. And guess who's going to be working the long extra hours to get that thing completed the way it should have been? That's right, you, the manager. You're going to have to do that. And I got to tell you, that's stupid. You shouldn't be doing that, because all it's going to do is prevent you from spending quality time with your family, much less quality time with your other employees. If you're always having to clean up after somebody else, you're in trouble. I recently talked with a manager that told me that he actually, in order to meet deadlines, he always takes work home so that he can clean up the project at the end and finish it so he could meet a deadline. And yet, what was his first complaint to me? Well, I'm having to work 80 to 90 hours a week. And when somebody tells me they're working 80 to 90 hours a week, I know they're not managing correctly. I know they're doing something wrong. I know that they don't understand how to tie good outcomes and bad outcomes and how to provide real clarity to their employees. And you see, this is just not acceptable for us in this day and time, whenever all of us are expected to do so much more in order for our companies to be profitable and productive. So what we've got to do is we've got to understand the value of clarity. We have to understand how to communicate in extremely clear terms. But the way you do that is that you explain the outcome based upon what actions that the employee has taken. Let me give you an example. This is another one of the sources of great conflict for managers all over the world. And that is when it comes time to raises. We actually have people today that they actually believe that raises are something they're entitled to every year. And yet companies can't do that because oftentimes the company might have had a bad year. The profits, the productivity weren't there. What you've got to do in order to prevent those negative discussions whenever you tell an employee, well, you're not going to get a raise this year, is that you have to start from the very beginning by providing clarity. You must provide the scenario that if you do this and the outcome is good and the outcome is this way, then that's how we determine what percentage of raise that you're going to get. And oh, by the way, it's also what determines whether or not you're going to be considered for promotion. You see, raises and performance, the reason people don't do it is because they don't have a clear path in order to get there. They don't really know how they're being measured. And this can happen in every aspect of a company's jobs. It's not just in the sales jobs. It's in every aspect. People don't know what they're really being measured against. So clarity has got to be something that's prioritized. Outcomes and actions mean something. Another area that people talk about is they get these employees that they really are going to need to terminate. And they've come to a conclusion, well, I'm going to have to fire this person because they just are terrible. Well, when you start asking, well, what all have you done to help this employee succeed? You know, we find no written recommendations, no written reprimands. And when you go to HR with that kind of thing and you just say, well, I just know they're failing, I got to tell you, you're stuck with that person. And what's worse is now you've got to go back and document everything that you should have already been doing. You see, it's not even fair to the employee. Forget you. It's not fair to the person. You should be providing them clarity. If they do this and they do this frequently, it could result in your termination. That should have been written up for them. It didn't mean you have to file a written report with HR, but you absolutely have got to be putting it in writing that you're coaching that person and you're telling that person, look, your performance is not up to par. And if you can't get it up to par by X date and by doing this thing and this thing and this thing, you've got to be that clear with people. Then you can go to HR with a termination request, and guess what? You're going to be able to do it. Now, one of the biggest enemies that managers have in clarity, besides tying outcomes to actions, is that they're horrible at establishing time frames of review of responsibility. I understood this very early in my life. It was taught to me by my mother and my father. And what that meant was that we had certain days that we were expected to do certain chores. And at the end of that day, we knew it was due that day and we were going to be reviewed. And so my mother, my father would review the chores that we had done, and they gave us a report card on whether it was outstanding, it was mediocre, which meant we had to redo it, or if we really failed, it meant not only did you have to redo it, you had to do it then, and you were going to lose some other privilege. You see, there were consequences. They were very clear about the consequences, but what they were even better at is that we knew the time frame that it was going to happen. You see, employees really want to know that time frames have been established. They don't want unreasonable time frames. And if you're leading properly, you should never be unreasonable about it. What you should do is be monitoring exactly what's going on and how it's going on. And you should be looking at these things and have set goals that you're tracking weekly, monthly, and quarterly. Don't wait till the end of the year to do an annual review and then figure out, oh gosh, I haven't been doing any of this. You have failed not only yourself, but you failed your team if that's what you're doing. And then finally, when I say talk about how do you get to personal responsibility, and this probably is the most important thing of all, and that is that you yourself must buy in to these concepts. You must accept responsibility for your actions. You are the person with the title. You are the person with the power. You are the person that has to be responsible ultimately of the success or failure of your team. And how do you do that? Well, you go back and you establish what these outcomes to actions are for yourself. And when you begin to do that, it gives you great confidence in what you're doing. And more importantly, it gives your team great confidence in you, because what you will have established is a culture of responsibility that will serve you, your employees, your team, and your company in all aspects of life. I hope you've really heard some things that'll make you think. That's the whole point. I want you to think about this and really analyze, where are you in your guiding to personal responsibility for yourself and your team? Thanks for listening today. Steve here, and one last reminder. I want to thank you for listening to the show, and I want to encourage you, go over to mojouniversity.com. Before you forget it, make sure you sign up for our training site, and let me be your teacher this year. I promise you, you're going to be successful. You're going to love it. Go to mojouniversity.com and sign up today.